I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now you too can bring the metal and fury to your living room with your favorite hero,
Mecha Battlestorm.
Introducing Mechaterial.
Mechaterial. Justice protocols initiated.
Mecha Tacidon.
It's time to kick some afterburner.
Optimus Rengar.
Head to a healing fountain before you bleed out.
Forces augmented.
Oh no, it's Abathur.
I'll handle this.
But you can't beat all three of them by yourself, Tommy.
I am justice itself.
Death. Acceptable outcome.
Hey, where's my healing, Billy?
You're a feeding piece of shit, Tommy.
Mecha Battlestorm
from Blizzard. Ages 3 and up. Xenophile Abathur contains pieces that are choking hazards for young children. Batteries sold separately.
I don't even know what to say after that. I really don't. That was amazing. Like, and here's the other thing. Listen, a little sneak peek behind the scenes here. So this afternoon, Bo says, oh my gosh, I have a great idea. You guys record me some lines and here are the lines. He gave us this really fast script in Slack. And I haven't, by the way, I saved it for the show. I haven't heard it until just now, which is something I meant to do. And I'm glad I did it because that's amazing. Bo goes home and makes this totally accurate to the era 80s action toy figure commercial around these mecha skins. And I don't even know what to say. That is amazing.
He did it in like no time, too, because he gave us the idea today. And I said, it's only like an hour between when I get home and we record. That's all I can give you.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I had an hour and a half to do it. I shoved a sandwich into my face, like whole, and I was done 5 minutes before the show.
Well, it's really impressive and very fun. And it's, you know what? It's funny. It mirrors how I feel about the Mecha trailer, because that came out, in my opinion, it came out of nowhere. Like, they'd been teasing images and stuff, and I didn't think much of it. In fact, I wasn't even tying the two together. I knew the mechs were coming, but I didn't know this little viral thing where they'd show some stuff with some Japanese characters. And I'm like, what are they doing? It's like maybe a new event, or I had no idea. I figured tonight we'd talk about it. I didn't know it'd be all done by now. And then suddenly this trailer drops the other day, and it's incredible. And it seems seemingly out of nowhere, like just like this really rad, fully realized anime battle sequence with Rhaegar, who I normally don't have that much care for. Rhaegar, he's fine, whatever, it's Rhaegar. Now I freaking love him, And Tyrael, freaking Battletech Tyrael, just so badass, like everything about it. And it came out of nowhere. Nobody knew they were doing that. Nobody knew they had time for that. Like, that seems like, I don't know. It seemed crazy that that's a thing for some skins, for a couple of skins. Like, it's not even a hero reveal, like the way that the animated Kel'Thas, no, the other guy, the other KT, the Kel'Thuzad thing was.
Kel'Thuzad.
Yeah, at least you were getting a new hero with that. With this one, it's like, no, they're doing this just for skins. I mean, I was giddy. It was so good.
Yeah.
And so this feels like that, because I didn't think Bo could crank out some rad freaking Saturday morning cartoon filler commercial. That's it's amazing, Bo. You deserve all kinds of credit for that. It was just awesome.
Yeah, well... I mean, do we want to wait a sec before we get deep into this? Because we need to go further about this event.
Keep going. We can do it now. Let's talk about it. Why not?
All right. We're just going to switch our topic order.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
That's totally fine with me. Talk about the mecha skins, this whole thing. I want to know where your head's at and why it inspired you so much.
A few things. Let's say some, was it salacious things?
Salacious. Which usually means there's some sexy things about it, right? Doesn't that
best? Yeah. Well, okay. Maybe... All right, I just don't want to be rude or put down anyone's work, but I'm going to say best Heroes of the Storm content, like trailer content, by a mile. This thing, like, including the CGI cinematics, and it might be biased because as soon as I heard, like, that is like one note off from More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye is like Transformers. Like, they changed literally the last note. And hint, guys. If you want to worm your way into my heart, just Transformers. I love the Transformers all day. I was so sold on this thing. 5 seconds in, you literally hear the guitar going. And it felt like reference overload. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's anime references in it, but all I cared about was how they were like Transformers and robot destructive things. But also, the anime was amazing. Like, it was actually... I don't want to say it was actually good because that sounds bad, but like the Kel'Thuzad one, while it was animated and pretty, you know, featured the Sergeant Hammer uppercut and the action was kind of This one, just everything felt perfect. Mm-hmm. All the notes hit. I would even go on to say Heroes dev team, no more CGI Overwatch style trailers. Just give me this for everything. This is the best. It's the best by a mile.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing, even though, I mean, if you put a gun to my head and said, well, does that mean I want them to stop doing all the other stuff they're doing when they do cool cinematics and stuff? No, I don't. I don't want them to stop. However, if you're telling me there's a world where I can't have both, I get where you're coming from. Like, this is so exciting. It's like I'm 12 and it's Saturday morning and my pajamas smell like cereal. And it's time to, you know, dig in. And
it's not where you put cereal, Scott.
But it's so good. I would watch this series. Like, right now, I would watch this series. And I know we're not the only people saying this. And I know that they're, you know, there's no way that they're going to branch out and have a division of Blizzard that does nothing but cool anime cartoons around Heroes of the Storm. All of that being said, John, I throw this to you. They have said at BlizzCon and other places, we are very much looking forward to the lore focus and aspect of Heroes of the Storm. Like, they've got to go somewhere with the lore business, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think this is a good example of them leaning into what makes Heroes great. What makes Heroes great is that we can do stupid crap where StarCraft people fight Diablo people and Warcraft people help them do it. And it doesn't have to make sense. It's there just because. And if we want a whole anime universe, we can do a whole anime universe. That's our prerogative. And this is the Nexus. Anything goes. And I feel like they can do that with their trailers. I mean, if the next World of Warcraft expansion trailer was a big anime trailer, everybody would go, what the heck is this? Where did this come from? Where's my expensive looking CGI Brad Pitt looking Anduin trailer? I don't have it and I'm upset.
Yeah.
But here it makes total sense. They can change. They can look like an Overwatch cinematic. It can look like one of their normal cinematics. It can be anime. It can be whatever they want it to be. And I think that that is another strength of the Nexus and Heroes of the Storm. And it had the desired effect. Oh, I used to joke that if Jeff Kaplan farts, Kotaku will write a story about it. And I think it's true.
Yeah.
But
is there a clue in the fart? Should we?
Yeah. What do they call it?
ARG?
ARG fart.
But this got eyes on it. There were articles about it. The Polygon wrote about it. Kotaku wrote about it. All the news sites are carrying about it, carrying it for a trailer for Skins. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what they need to lean into.
I completely agree. And if they came out and said, hey, our ideas about lore are going to be this cool animated short that you'll get every couple of weeks for a season of 12 or something, and if that goes well, we'll do it again. Like, if they did something like that, I would be so into this. And it doesn't have to be just the mecha business. Like, lean into all of it, like you're saying. Like, have an entire, episode, a 15-minute to 20-minute episode of this anime-style animation thing that's, totally themed different than the next episode. This theme's all about, it leans way into the StarCraft lore and is very StarCrafty. But then, I mean, basically what I'm asking for is Carbot animations, but a little more serious, you know, like less humor, more hard, badass, this stuff. Like, I don't even know. I just love it. I just love it. And I want more of it.
There's something. So my understanding is, like, this was outsourced to an animation team.
Fine, outsource it again. Keep outsourcing.
I believe that's correct.
Nope. But it's clear to me that people make, like, so the stuff in it as well, like, they use the hero abilities in these cool ways.
Yep.
And it just seems like the people making it love the game and the Blizzard lore and stuff too. Like, there's just something to it that, like, speaks so strongly, even like, in reference to Heroes of the Storm. That's incredible.
I actually care, for the first time, I actually care about Abathur in a way that I didn't think I would before.
I played 10 games of Abathur yesterday. Okay, so this is the other thing about this. I put down all my money. I bought the whole thing. Loot boxes, are you kidding me? Picking out a different tint? No way. Bought them all, wow. And I played 10 games of Abathur. Xenophile Abathur, the mastermind controlling everything.
He's a little less boss-like, though, in the game. Did that bum you out at all? Because in the cartoon, he is so cool. He's like Cobra Commander plus a million other villains worth of trouble. And they, when he makes his clones, or makes those clones, what are they called in the game when he does that? Ultimate Evolution?
Locusts?
When he clones somebody, what's that called? Just cloning?
I think it's Ultimate Evolution.
Might be it. When he did that, I squealed a little in the cartoon.
I know,
I keep seeing
right?
the cartoon. But when that happened, I went, oh my gosh, dude, that's straight out of the game. Or when Rhaegar turns into his freaking cat form. Oh my gosh.
No, he bloodlusts. At one point, everything is red, fire, and mayhem. And even his calves get gigantic. Like, they zoom in on his foot, and then his calf machine muscles go. And I'm just like, oh man. And I played a game of Rhaegar. I was a solo healer. I went bloodlust and, of course, lost us the game. But I was like, whatever. I got my mecha skin. I don't care. And I was spraying and saying his voice lines.
Well,
didn't matter.
It's something special, and I hope they do more. I don't know. Maybe if the freakout's strong enough, I feel like they might, you know? Like, that's what you need. That level of feedback across the board about your game that you otherwise have to beg for coverage for sometimes in the shadow of Overwatch, and have this sort of dominate the way that it did, is a really good sign. So please, more Blizzard.
I saw there's a Polygon article. It was just about Heroes. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think the desired effect is one I was talking about earlier, which is, it isn't just rad on its own merits and everything else and super cool they did it and all that. It's that they went that extra mile and it made it feel like they are not just into it, but really into it. And to me, that's like a weird confidence builder in the overall vision of the game. Like, the overall direction of the game, this one quick 3-minute animated short is enough for me to go, that's right. Y'all are behind this game in 100, you know, in 100 different ways. And I love it. And I'm going to support it forever. And I can't wait to play it again. So well done, Blizzard. You killed it. And whoever you outsource it to, do that again. I don't care what you do. It doesn't have to be internal. Do wherever you want to have it done. Just keep making these. I would pay money for them. Like, I would buy a season. I'd say, hey, here's a way. You know what I'd spend gems on? An animated series about Heroes of the Storm. That's what I would spend money on. I'd buy gems. No problem. Wouldn't even have to ask twice. All right. Well, there's that. I could go on about that all day. Real quick, though, we should talk about the skins themselves. I'm actually going to buy them on the air tonight when we show our games. Yeah.
It's our favorite thing when you buy things on the air.
I figured John would like that, given his tendency to talk me into buying things. But the difference here is I actually want them.
You wanted that Jaina skin.
I admit it. I wanted the Jaina skin and I was happy to get it. But in this case, I was planning on it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to wait because I'm not going to be able to play till then anyway. So I'll just get it while we're on there and people can kind of see those from the get-go. But I'm curious. John, did you get them? Did you pick them up as well or no?
So we don't need to turn this into a discussion, but I bought some gems to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And because of bad math and the way the gem system is set up, I wound up being about 250 gems off from what I needed for the whole package. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll get all the Tyrael and all the Rhaegar, and we'll just leave Abathur to do his business. Mm. And so that's what I did. And so I don't have any Abathur.
Yeah.
But I did pick up all the Tyrael skins and all the Rhaegar skins. And in case anybody didn't notice that it's out there, I went and bought up the Mecha Tyrael announcer as well with
what?
Sharks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, stop the.
Whoa. I did not know this was the case.
Yep. There is a Mecha version of the Tyrael announcer. It's legendary. So you're going to need a lot of shards. But it's there to be picked up. And also, while we're talking about it, there's a new variation of the Cyber Dahaka as well, which is super cool because he's got dinosaur bones painted on it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That one's really good. All right. Well, now I got to get that voice thing, and I'll get that with shards. I think I may have enough. If I don't, I may have enough by the end of the night. But it's great. I can't believe we're talking like about a skin patch this way. Because in the past, had this just been like one of those in-game ones like they did with Space Lord Leoric, who cares? Like, I would maybe still want them, but it would have been within the realm of, the Blizzard thing, and this is exciting, and okay, cool, and I'll have that thing, and it's no big deal. But this is different. This is different.
I think so. I think it is different. I mean, Space Lord is pretty cool. It's like Asmodunk level, like, excitement.
I mean, he sounded like Darth Vader, and it came out around Star Wars time. Like, it was... Yeah.
It was cool, but do you know what I mean about the difference between what they showed for that reveal and what they showed here? There's like an energy to this that doesn't exist in that space. The Space Leoric one was like your normal in-game engine. Let's make a short little thing with some VO. Like, it wasn't that big a deal. It was typical Blizzard, which is high quality, which is already up there, but it wasn't this. Where
I'm trying to think of what a cinematic trailer between Leoric and another character with legendary skin doing a Star Wars reference cinematic, like, is it Varian? Who's Leoric fight in this cinematic? Dude,
well, in the one they did, it was Li Ming.
Yeah, but that was, they were channeling more of a cartoon. I felt a little confused because, like, Space Lord Leoric is Vader. Mm-hmm. Like, when I hear his voice, I'm going, oh, he sounds Vader-y.
Oh yeah, he's even got Vader lines. This is all too easy and stuff like that. It's good.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't want to besmirch it. But this is way cooler, man. Way cooler. And I'm not even that big of an anime fan, but I know what I like, and it's this. So.
Oh, and that Rhaegar skin, dude, the Horde, like, wrist blade that he has, and it's in the shape of the Horde logo. Mm-hmm. That thing looks so cool.
Yeah.
That thing's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the Li Ming thing was kind of a Sailor Moon thing, chat room points out, and that's true, right?
They did a whole, like, it was almost like the toys of the 80s, because you had Leoric as this Darth Vader, you had the Sailor Moon thing running around, and then you had Zool being G.I. Joe Cobra.
Yeah, dude. He had that Cobra mounts and that cool Cobra-looking snake outfit he wore and all that, yeah. Well, nonetheless, it was amazing, and we'd like more of this, please. All right, since we last talked, or lactosed.
Since we were without any toast.
Yeah, we were lacking toast. Bo Schwartz was, I don't know, I wouldn't say, Also, Saturday you played, I think, your first game with him, with Blaze, if I recall.
Game number two.
Or two or something. And when you were done, you were like, yeah, he needs work. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Blaze. And I had been singing his praises like crazy, but I don't have quite the nuance I think Bo does to his approach to these characters. He knows the deep down meta parts more than I do. And my stuff's a little more, you know, skin deep. So I was like, oh, shoot, well, that's no good, because I like Bo's opinion, and I wonder how this will go. I guess since then, you've had a complete flip-flopper. You really like the guy now.
Yes. Well, he's really fun. I think the mistake was game two playing. We were five stack, so we're trying to play coordinated, and mm-hmm. I was just having a hard time processing Blaze.
Yeah.
But in a when I jumped into solo queue, and I was like, I don't know, I'm just going to jump into the enemy team and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I come out alive for some reason. And I'm like, this guy's kind of fun. He's kind of a troll. They're pumping all this crap into me and I'm getting them killed. And certainly he's got a swear word in his voice lines that is covered up by his flame stream, you know, like mm-hmm. the way they do it.
Yeah,
what does he say? Like, get the out of here or something like that. It's, you know, it's an F word.
Yeah, it's presumed to be an F word. We all assume it is. Yeah.
And I mean, I like my swears.
So. That's what won you over, huh? He's like, no, this guy's all right.
That's a big selling point.
Yeah.
You know, his kit is fun, but I realize do you remember Kyle complaining? This is Kyle Ferguson from Into the Nexus fame, everyone. We play with him Team League on weekends.
He's playing with us tonight.
I remember complaining about Zeratul, and it's like, I don't know what Zeratul's doing. Where is he going? Is he going in? Is he going out? Ah, you know, like it's hard to, it's hard to understand what he's trying to do watching him go.
Yeah.
And I was having that experience playing with him on the team and as him.
Mm.
I think, and you can tell me what you think, Scott, but I feel like, yes, he's a tank, but it's like, sometimes you're going, like, here's what I do is I'll throw out the oil spill and I'll shoot the fire business.
Mm-hmm.
And if I like what I catch, it's like fishing. Boom, I'm in. I press E, I'm in. All of a sudden, I'm 5 miles away from my team. And I'm like, it's go time.
Right.
But if I don't like what I see, I don't go in. And I find it a little manic.
Mm.
And I think it's hard for the team to keep up with those engages. That's what I boiled down to. Because when you're solo queue, I don't care. You know.
Well, from a tank perspective, and John may have alluded to this a bit on Saturday too, but from a tank perspective, I totally agree. It is hard to know. He's not doing typical tank things. It doesn't feel tanky. To the rest of the team, or even to yourself sometimes. So you can take a lot of damage, and you can mitigate a lot of that damage, and do a lot of things that tanks do. But I think I agree with that. His strength is in that he's kind of chaotic a little bit, and that's what's fun about him, I think. But I think it can be confusing for the rest of the team. What looks like an engage to them could just be me trying to smear oil all over everything. You know,
right.
Like it's not really like even later when I pick that talent where I have the oil leak, I'm now not charging just to stun a thing and begin an engage. I should be doing that as often as I can. But a lot of times it's like I'm almost dead and I need some oil and I need it quick. And my W's on cooldown. And also I just need to get out of here or whatever. And so you'll and then how's the team to interpret that? Like it I totally agree. Like that's a tricky bit of business. But I don't know if I want him to change either, because I really like him for the chaos that he is. I like that he's just pumping out flame. You're not sure if you're even being hit sometimes by it because you're sort of in his cone, but are you? You don't know. It's splashy. The stuff on the ground is healing him, but it's hurting you. During the quest phase for that stuff, you're purposely just trying to burn heroes on the other team. And by the time you get it, that stuff stays a lot longer. So you're healing a lot longer and they're dying a lot faster and they're slowed. Like all of those nifty things that are happening kind of dynamically on the fly is what I like about him. But none of it is like murdered in precision of jump in, throw my hammer, hit the dude, slam the ground, throw my thing, get back up, do my deal, jump on out. You know, it's not like that.
I love this song. It's so good.
We should record it. Let's get it.
Check out the intro next week. It's going to be stellar.
Yeah, you like. You think you like today's? Let me tell you,
an amazing song. But yeah, no, I get what you mean because, yeah, it's It's just so weird because I want to say, like, sometimes you combo in with press all your buttons and then you're walking out with 10% HP hoping not to die, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that happens a lot too, but and you get away most of the time. But sometimes it's just a question of, like, I'm going in just to peel, but it looks like an engage. So I think I found my rhythm a little bit. And also, I think it takes some doing to get a feel for the heal, the self-heal. Because it's not, it's a lot, but it doesn't fill up your health bar super fast.
No.
I'd say it's deceptive. I ended up, when we were playing last Saturday, in a lane solo as Stitches against him for a brief period of time. And I thought, well, this is not a big deal. Stitches self-sustain for days. Let's do this. And all of a sudden, I was getting pushed back and getting hurt and getting bullied out of the lane because I wasn't respecting what he did. And I was eventually able to take back control of the lane. But I felt like me taking back control of that lane was me busting my butt and doing crazy creative things on Stitches to win it versus him just playing Blaze how you would normally play Blaze.
Yeah, I think I agree with that too. There are a combination of things at play there. So if he's using his D efficiently, he's not only, and he's talenting for it, he's not only healing off of oil spills, but he's healing off of damage he's doing while in D mode. Combustion, is it? Whatever it is.
And
Pyromania. And so he's got extra heals from that. There are other talents he can take along the way that improve that healing. And again, if we're fighting toe-to-toe, no matter who you are, even if you're like a high-damage burster, and said toes are standing and burning oil that has a very low cooldown and is burning longer because I got the quest and I've got Pyromania going, I win those fights. Like, there are times where a really scrappy little Illidan thinks he's got me where I stand, and I end up beating that guy. And it's usually too late for him to do anything because they're like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. And they turn to run, and they're also slowed in the goo, so they can't get out of the fire quick enough. I mean, it's what I like about him.
And then once they just finally get away, your E comes off cooldown.
Yeah.
You catch up to them. Like, it's weird because it doesn't feel like it should work out on your quick math, your napkin math in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do their little trick. They get away, put some distance. Well, you throw some oil in and keep them slowed up a bit. You throw another one and then ease off cooldown and you're back in their face. Like, you can chase down a squishy.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem like he can do that.
Yeah. And if they're squishy enough and if they're hurt enough, that chase down kills them. You don't even just lock them down. They die on impact. And that's really satisfying to have him go and then fly across the screen and slam into them and send, you know, Tracer 9 miles back the other way is super satisfying. So I continue to love him. I'm just glad you've seen the fun.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
whether he's
hilarious,
whether he's a wonderful single tank, main tank, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. I haven't got a feel for it yet, but Bunker's hilarious. Like, that's reason enough to play him. There was an enemy Illidan who would like hunt in. I'd throw the bunker down and everyone would get in it. And there's this angry elf and there's just like, shh, 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 like these flame things flying out.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of looks lame, but lame in a trolley way where it's like, I've got magic. And here's a big laser and you're just like bunker. And then it's shh, shh, shh. like it looks cool. I don't mean to say it looks bad, but it's just kind of trolly.
It is a little trolly
that I like.
I like it too. I like it too. I'll tell you what, if you're sick of Ragnaros flame lakes coming up the lane at you and you're a little too late getting out of there, dropping that thing and having everyone get in it and barely taking any damage to your bunker is
I think it takes magical. Zero damage to the bunker.
Oh, does it? I thought it took a little.
I didn't see any of it go down. It definitely takes no damage for Dragon Strike. We learned that on the weekend. That was the one great thing about bunkers. You just sit in it and the Dragon Strike does nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should have bunkers in Overwatch.
I will say this though, that same not technology, but that same characteristic of the bunker is also true for that ultimate evolution stuff from what's his bucket. And I hate not being able to, I guess it's been true all along and all the other characters can't do it either. Maybe not all along, but I can't charge with E and stun him and go right through him. It sucks.
Oh, the monstrosity. Monstrosity.
Yeah. I hate that. F that. That is some lame ass ideas you got going there. Blizzard, fix that.
Yeah. Cause it counts as a minion, I guess, or something like that. Yeah. So if someone says hit a hero, it doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't like that. Weird. Anyway, John, any further thoughts on our good buddy Flame Man Blaze?
I haven't actually played him a ton. It's been tough because I've kind of in our games I've kind of transitioned to a main tank role for the most part for the team, and so I've been trying to kind of build up a bunch of them, which you would think would mean, oh well, that puts Blaze in a real good spot. But instead, what it actually means is I've been playing a lot of ETC and a lot of these maybe a little bit easier, more clear where they land tanks. I've been playing a lot of ETC, Johanna, Stitches, and Muradin, basically. But, you know, I think he seems all right. He's definitely more chaotic than I personally care for. When I want to tank, there's an element of control that I don't feel I have with him yet. It could be there with more time, but there's an element of control that I like to have that I just don't feel like I have.
Yeah. So even his stun, like I was saying, doesn't have full control. Like when you throw the hammer from Muradin to stun, it's a skill shot, yes, but if they're in range of it, it's an immediate shot. Like you fire it, they stun. It's not something like slow moving projectile. But his E charge for Blaze has wind up, and it's, you know, takes time to get to the dude. It's kind of avoidable, or you're gonna whiff it more often. So even that is less accurate. And I totally get where you're coming from. He doesn't have that kind of control tankiness that like Johanna, you know, that's her whole thing. Is control tanking, and he's more like, blah, there's shit everywhere. I'm sitting on fire, which I kind of like, but whatever. Anyway, there you go.
Cool. He's super cool. I'm back on board. I'm on board.
All right, good. You're on board with Blaze. Be on board with Blaze. Yeah. Be a good t-shirt. Let's make it happen. What else? Well, we're all mixed up here on this order. Oh, here we go. Tyrael. So here's the other thing. He didn't just get a rad new skin. And easily the best animation for going back to the Nexus, by the way. The others are okay. His is the best, by far.
I don't know. Did you see the Rhaegar one?
It's okay, but I don't like that he sinks into the ground. It's weird. And then John's face.
This is my face.
Okay, hello. What were we talking about? Oh, you were extolling the virtues of the Rhaegar animated thing, and I'm saying there's no hole there. So where's he go?
He goes to the underground. Evangelion is a very popular anime that Blizzard has shown to be major fans of because they keep tinting things in the colors of that show, and that's a big thing for that show. The whole idea is giant monsters attack the city, so the way they built the city is that it all goes underground when monsters attack.
Yeah,
and so the robots don't like fly out of space or anything like that. They actually pop up out of the ground.
Oh,
so that's where the Rhaegar animation comes from.
All right, that's fine. So there's actual some precedence for that.
And if you're nerdy about it like me, you're like, oh, it's so cool, it's amazing. Yeah. But you know, if you're
I got one little picky about Rhaegar.
Okay.
Little picky.
Okay.
All right.
They kind of cheesed the transformation animation.
Really?
I was hoping more Transformer. I mean, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But he jerks around. He poof, and then he's a wolf. And it's, I was more expecting. I just wanted to see some parts move, but it's fine. It's fine. Still good.
It's a pretty good Transformer sound you just made. Do that again.
Was it?
Yeah.
We used to play Transformers as kids. Like we used to run around with like pieces of cardboard and be like, I'm transforming into a truck.
Yeah, no, I love it. Dude, I was a big Transformers guy. I love that crap back in the day.
Yeah.
The movies
brings back memories.
Movies have made my life hard. I'm not happy with where that thing's gone.
Oh, I'm so sad about the movies.
I know, they should be great. Good. And there's something to be, I mean, listen, there's things to be enjoyed about them, all right, everybody, but it's not the same. They could have got it better. They could have done it right. Listen, you got Peter Cullen. You should be treating that should be sacrosanct. If you've got that guy doing the voice of Optimus Prime, your movies better be good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know what? Just having seen what's possible, I'd say just give us more G1 and like film level animation. I think people would flock to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the old movie did really well when it came out in 87 or whatever it was.
Still watchable.
Still really good. It's got
Eric Idle.
Yeah.
He says, ba wa ninny bon, or something like that.
Yep. And it's got Spock's in there. Leonard Nimoy's in it. and somebody else big. I forget who. There's lots of cool people in that movie. If you guys haven't seen that movie, it's called Transformers, The Battle for Something.
No, it's just Transformers the movie.
Oh, that's
isn't it,
it
called?
What is it?
Like Transformers the movie or the? It doesn't have some like weird extra use of
no,
the word
it's
the
just
in
Transformers
there.
Transformers the movie.
The that's Transformers it. Movie. The movie.
Transformers the movie. The movie.
It's just Transformers.
I swear,
the
I think
movie.
It's called the Transformers movie. The movie.
Often Transformers like 1984, just because I think that's the year it came out. There's other movies.
I thought it was 87, wasn't it? The movie's 87, wasn't it?
Release date actually 86. Never mind.
86.
Yeah,
I remember.
Judd Nelson's in it.
Oh shit!
And Robert Stack.
Oh my gosh! Wow, how could I have forgotten Robert Stack in the?
is he the Unsolved Mysteries guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the I Spy guy when Bill Cosby was young, and in that show with him. Before he did, all weird.
Yeah, he did Unsolved Mysteries, and I always thought he was the one perpetrating him because he scared the shit out of me.
Oh, Orson Welles is in it.
What?
Orson Welles, the legend, as Unicron.
Oh, he's Unicron.
Yes, this is a classic. This is one of those things where it's like it's awesome when it's released, then it's a cheesy 80s cartoon film, and then it ages well and becomes. I mean, it's what do they call it? It's like a pillar of cartoon filmmaking. It's a great film.
Yeah.
And yes, it's cheesy, but it's incredible.
I need to
chat
watch it.
Chat room's backing me up. It's called The Transformers the Movie.
The Transformers
yes,
the Movie?
The Transformers the Movie. Okay.
I knew there was too many thes in there.
Okay. So, wait. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Transformers
the Movie.
The Transformers the Movie. Really? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what the Wikipedia page is called, too, actually.
That's
so.
Poo. That's a poo name. That's a poo name. Sorry, everybody. It's a poo name. All right. Where were we? Oh, Tyrael. What was the whole point of this? Tyrael, you know him. He's Justice itself. Well, he's got a talent rework, and it's kind of a big one. At least it seems big. I'm curious if either of you want to, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong about it being big. It feels like a pretty sizable change to that guy.
So. I've got a TLDR, like an abstract to start with before we dive in.
Right? Yeah, go with it.
Because I played a few games as him in my excitement, having bought all those new skins. And definitely different, cool things, I guess, to try out. The thing is, I don't play a lot of Tyrael, so I'm not disappointed by the changes, but I also don't understand what's different. He still plays like Tyrael, which means he draws his little thing on the ground that makes him go faster. He puts the holy ground on the ground. He charges at people. Like, he still does all the Tyrael things. So I think this is going to be something for like people who really play Tyrael. I am hoping that they find improvements here that they like, because there's some interesting new talents. But the actual basic abilities remain relatively unchanged. The biggest thing is that his smite, which he draws a line on the ground that makes you go faster or the enemies go slower. He used to have to stop and draw it, but now he doesn't stop when you draw it. So it actually is a big upgrade.
He can keep moving when he does that. All right.
Yeah, and you're usually doing it to chase people down. And so it sucks to be like, I'm going to get you. Wait a sec. Okay, I'm going to get you. There's this sense of, oh, this makes sense. He's awesome.
I am hesitation itself, is what he should say.
Exactly.
John, you and I have often said that one of the heroes that drew us to this game, like in the initial very early days, was a chance to play Tyrael. And then we've always sort of been, yeah, Tyrael's cool, but not really into playing Tyrael as much as I wish I was or whatever. Is anything that you've seen here make you want to change that about yourself?
A few things. I think that for me, the biggest things, the obvious ones that forums and everybody kind of yelled about was mana cost brought down.
Yeah.
He was one of those characters that was constantly out of mana. And when you look at what he's doing, the question is why? Like, he's not doing anything that warrants these expensive mana costs. So that's gone. I think that in general, what they've done is Tyrael felt really good when you were with a coordinated team that could make use of Tyrael. And that was kind of the narrow only place that he felt good. And I think they've made enough tweaks here that my early take on him, at least, is that he now maybe has a place being picked up outside of super coordinated play. I will see how it all comes together. I certainly haven't played enough games to say that, nope, put a stamp on it. That's how I feel about him. I can already see the chat room talking about it, that his trait didn't get changed, where when he dies, he explodes. I don't love the trait. I don't think there's many people that love that trait, but I don't think it's the end of the world either. I think, you know, there's something to be said about him diving into his opponents and staying there until he's dead, and then letting that explosion maybe turn the tide of a fight after he's gone. I think there is a quality to that, whether that's a good quality or not, I don't know. But I think it's good. I want to try him. It's been enough to at least make me want to try him.
Yeah,
it's worth noting that Junkrat also has this trait, so he's not alone in this world now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. I wonder what the damage difference is, or if there's any splash that Junkrat gets
that
he doesn't
get. I think Junkrat does more because Tyrael has a wider area.
Well, plus,
I'm just guessing.
There's kind of a warning with Tyrael. Junkrat, you're easier to forget about, and it goes off quicker. Tyrael kind of hovers around. But the other thing is, I mean, there's a lot of characters with death traits.
That's true.
Leoric has it.
But exploding Diablo. Death.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the difference here is Junkrat's a stationary explosion. Like, when he's dead, those go, and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas Tyrael has some strategy. The problem is it's so outrunnable. Like, you can avoid that thing pretty easy. In fact, I can't remember the last time I was caught in a Tyrael blast after his death, but maybe if they sped him up or something, I don't know.
It doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
There's a really cool talent at level one that he's got. It's called Ardent Restoration.
Mm.
And so when he deals damage to a hero, he gets a heal over time. It says 12 health over 5 seconds. I imagine that scales. But you can stack this up to 10 times, which is just kind of interesting that he has, rather than a dot he applies on an enemy, he has a self-healing if he keeps hitting people. And at level 20, he's got, using a basic ability, grants 50% attack speed. So I'm kind of thinking there might be a build in here that is pretty self-sustaining, like almost Blaze style. And we talk about Blaze, we're like, oh my god, he can heal himself and last longer. I wonder if Tyrael can accomplish the same thing.
Well, see, to me, that's a key trait in a tank that I want to play. Maybe it's not in the overall meta of the game, but the tanks I want to play are the ones that have some way of getting health back or retaining it or augmenting it. So that's why I like Muradin. It's why I like Blaze. It's why I like those kinds of heroes. Certainly, I mean, she's more of a brawler. Well, she's entirely a brawler. She's almost an assassin, but Sonya's like that. Like, the ability to generate your health in some way, even if it's just a talent pick, is important to me. So that's interesting to me. And also, it looks like by the statistics on Heroes Hearth, 32.1% of people are picking that. Only 50% are picking even in death, which is increases the shield applied to allies by righteousness by 100% if the shield of the shield gained by Tyrael. So that's more of a team pick. I bet if I was solo queuing, though, I'd go Ardent Restoration is what I
think. Yeah, I think I'd lean Ardent Restoration, too. I think he's got a really strong self-sustaining, like kind of a bruiser type build in there. I don't think he's ever going to do a ton of damage, but I think he's going to be one of those characters that, like a Sonya, you're just not getting the health down. Between his shielding and his self-healing and all of that, I think there's going to be a lot of cases of just like, oh, he's just always in my face. Like, he's not doing the most damage, but I just can't get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can also bamf around like Zeratul, which is pretty nice. So
that's true.
That's a pretty fun one as well.
Yeah.
Another thing that I felt like was an improvement due to the Mecha Tassadar skin, more so than the rework, was that his W, I think, is one of the most misunderstood or underused abilities in the game, which is it basically gives you and allies shields. That includes minions and stuff all around you. And that's actually a pretty like nuanced tool. And the Mecha Tassadar's or Mecha Tyrael skin actually makes it so there's this animation, like this pulse circle on the ground, shoots out, so you can kind of see like, oh, there's a shield thing happening, because it's not very evident, I find, in his base skins, with it's just like these yellow lights, and it just doesn't read. I was like, oh, this reads way better. I see the area of effect that it reaches. I get a feel for it a lot better. And I'm kind of hoping, you know, that works for teammates too, where it's like, oh, get close to Tyrael and he'll shield you. You know, like, it's, there's something kind of awesome about the shield that I think is underappreciated. I know definitely I barely, you know, use it, I think, very appropriately when I play him. And there are some interesting talents. One increases the shield at level one, that's even in death, by 100%. So you give yourself as much shield as other people. So there's some interesting talents to deal with that too, which is, I'm curious about.
Yeah, I am too. I want to see the skin in action then with righteousness. That sounds interesting. Because you're right, it doesn't, it's not obvious what W is doing for anybody. And when that happens sometimes, when it's just statistics kind of, and visually you're not getting the flourish, I mean, I don't need it to be crazy visual, but I sometimes need that confirmation that what I just did was a good thing. Otherwise, W starts to feel kind of useless and you use it less. You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel like you're having an impact or whatever. Obviously, you are, and anybody who's playing him seriously knows this, but just as somebody who's casually, well, was drawn to this game because of him, immediately was put off by his play style, and would love to return to him, I don't know, it's weirdly exciting. Maybe, did the rework do anything to that effect outside the skin? Because maybe it did.
Well, like I said, the overall scope of playing him is, it felt kind of samey, but it might just be that I didn't appreciate the changes. Like, I didn't see the nuance because I don't play him enough.
Yeah.
So that's why I sort of reserve judgment, because I'm like, well, I'm walking up to people. You know, he has that sound he makes, like a dunk, dunk, dunk. And you just, like, you feel like you go around and you just dunk, dunk, dunk. Like, he still does that. So I was like, well, this kind of feels the same. I like the upgrades that I do notice, but I'm wondering if there's a build that I'm scared to do or not doing. Because I think he has a specific play style, and I think the picks here on Hero Hearth for what people are making for their talent builds look like, yeah, everyone's still taking Holy Ground, because, you know, that's what we see in HGC and in pro play. You know, but maybe these other talents can be built into something pretty awesome. Like how I discovered Support Abathur this week.
Oh, what? Explain that, because you seemed to be hatting pretty well the other day. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
It was our Cho'Gall wacky game.
Yeah, it was the Cho'Gall game.
So,
yeah.
Like, I like to point out, so all those 10 games I played yesterday, I lost one, and it was all solo queue with randos, and I went Support Abathur.
He's back.
Sorry.
I shocked Scott so hard with, he's like, Support Abathur. Sorry. You cray.
Sorry. I that was just me clicking a button I shouldn't have. My bad. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue on. Yeah. You were playing Healing Abathur.
Yeah, so Healing Abathur is a thing, because it's probably not a good thing to do in your ranked stuff. Maybe it is. I'd like to push it. But in solo queue quick match, you don't get healers that often. And even when you do, people have bad habits. They play kind of selfishly. Healing goes a long way. The heal talent at level one, where, here's the thing, is you think of a shield, like we're talking about righteousness on Tyrael. You think of a shield like, oh crap, burst incoming. Let me get the Abathur shield up to eat some of that damage.
Yeah.
No, put the shield on people when they're away from the fight. Let them do their fight. Sometimes players get excited. They think, I got a hat. I'm going to kill everybody. And then they realize that's not going to happen and they go away. And then you press the shield, and as long as the shield stays on that character, they get this. It's like tapping a fountain.
To
like
heal, it's not heal over
an
time.
Instant heal, but it's a big heal. And you can take a talent, I think it's 7, that allows you to. So the cooldown on the carapace is, did I say that right?
Carapace.
Yeah.
I mean, you were close. You put emphasis in a weird way that made it seem dirty.
Carapace. So the cooldown on the carapace is 12 seconds or carapace.
Yeah, it's not right. You need to rework it.
Carapace. The cooldown on the carapace is 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's a long cooldown. But what you can do is that you can hat somebody, put the carapace on the hero, then immediately leave, and the cooldown on symbiote is only 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So you can hat anything else and put another shield on people and keep them healed up when they're like battered and bruised at 40%. You know, in quick match they're gonna stay till they die. You can get them back to a 100% with your Ketapache, your healing Ketapache. Anyways,
he says it with such conviction that it removes the ability to actually say the words.
Yeah, I can't say carapace.
Like,
anymore.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how you actually say it, and because Bo said it with such authority, it's all I can think about.
Yeah,
now.
It's gone now. Yeah,
so, like, on 4, you can skip it, and you can either go lane push. 4 and 13 up, you can skip it and go lane push or go symbiote builds.
Yeah.
But the shielding talents, 1, 7. Are incredible in quick match.
It was working for me. It worked when you were hatting me. It was feeling like Malfurion heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a
the
just
only
a heal
thing
over
is
time.
Is it requires discipline on the part of the hattie or the Ketapache to not go and take damage as soon as they, you know, sometimes they see the shield on, you're like, oh, sweet, let's rip this thing off, jump into the first arrow that someone shoots.
Yeah.
Like, no, stay away, let it do its job. And it's a considerable amount of healing.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. I mean, I
didn't realize that's how it worked. And when you started doing it and you were like, no, don't get into battle. I was like, why? You put a shield on me.
Yeah.
Why are you putting a shield on me if you don't want me to go fight?
Yeah.
And then I want the
microbes to sew your tissue back into life.
We had that discussion. That was a talk we had. And I was like, oh, this is the most like confusing thing in the world. But like, it's awesome. And it worked really, really well.
Yeah.
But it's just, you're right. It's completely counter to how you would think.
So you're going to have trouble in quick match you're going to have trouble getting your randos to pay attention to that. You know what I mean?
Well, I learned my timing, which is you put the hat on, they go nuts and start attacking the first thing in sight.
Mm-hmm.
They get damaged and go away, and that's when I put the shield on them. And if they think I'm bad, fair enough. But once I think players start seeing the healing, they go, oh.
Yeah, you're doing the Lord's work here, dude. You're changing a whole generation of thinkers and small minds.
So all that to say is that Tyrael here has these, like, people are building, like, oh, don't take this one, 7% on whatever that is. And I'm like, the patch has been out for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Who are any of these people to tell me any of these talents are good? I'm like, you have no idea.
I also don't think it's accurate because I think it carries over data from previous versions. Because I checked it right when they announced that they had updated the site with it. And there were already percentages, and in places where there were brand new talents, it was all 0% at that point.
Well, look, on a technical, I was using it more as a hypothetical. Like, I'm not actually saying this is wrong. Bound by law on level 4 is incredible. 7%, noobs. I'm just saying that, like even on a hero that's been out for a year, is that there are underpicked talents that people are too scared because HGC or because, you know, pro player says this is good. But somebody figures those out, and anyways.
Yeah. I learned this lesson trying to play Overwatch during even some competitive Overwatch during the Overwatch League games last week. That was a mistake. I'll never do that again. That was that was terrible. It was like it was almost like up to the minute try hard comp, meta comp wannabe nightmare. It was awful. It was like you couldn't do anything without somebody trying to be the guy they just saw on TV today. It was killing me. Anyway, and who knows? HTC may provide some of that fun for us this weekend. So we'll see, I suppose, how those games go. All right, we got new horses coming, guys. New horses. That's right. 2017 ranked season 3 rewards update. They included an image of a golden cyber steed. Okay, so this happened last September. And a Spectrum Cyber Steed, which is basically rainbow bright looking freaking cyber speed. I can't keep saying speed.
I like to call it the Razer Chroma keyboard of horses.
It's like Razer designed the horse.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh wait, Bo,
yep,
show
there
that
it
again.
Is. Bo's holding up the horse right now.
Yeah, look
Hopefully
at that.
There's
thing.
Not too much food in there.
That's incredible. Holy schmoes. Okay, so. So that's a good sorry, I'm fixing the video. That's a very good example of what I'm talking about. Well, they later corrected the blog, but since I've received feedback from many of you who are excited about those mount variations and played hard to unlock them. Though we had intended to release these mounts as ranked rewards, We want to do right by those who felt they had been promised those rewards. Within the next few days, we're going to grant the Golden Cyber Steed and Spectrum Cyber Steed. I can't say that without saying speed. As well as their epic counterparts to players who would have been eligible to receive them based on their performance during the 2017 ranked Season 3. In addition to the rewards already earned when the season came to an end, those who achieved certain rank play milestones during 2017 Season 3 will also receive the following Cybersteed mount variations, which they're showing in an animated GIF here.
Were the two variants that were promised, mm-hmm. and then they switcheroo'd it at the last second and right. gave us some weird other colors.
Yeah, which is so interesting.
So that there's a lot of complaints about it. So now we're getting this, but here's the real story. You're looking at this GIF, right? And you see them cycling through.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the two with the Mohawks and the two without the Mohawks, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay, so none of us are getting the ones with the Mohawks because we didn't finish.
Which I'm super fine with.
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Okay. So I say, how mad are you? Because I'm like, you know what? Because I don't get them. I don't achieve master in Hero League or Team League. It pisses me off. That Mohawk one is really good.
I don't like the Mohawk at all. It looks like someone stuck chiclets on its head.
So here's the thing. I have all of the ranked mounts,
yeah,
the sucky versions, mm-hmm. and I never wear them because they're the sucky versions.
Right.
And I'm going to go on record and complain and say, you know, if I was a Masters player, I'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I got my sweet mount. You need to get good so you get your sweet mount. But because I'm on the other side of it, I'm going to say, I hate this so much. I hate that I have the sucky mount.
Yeah.
I just hate it. It's not even a criticism. It's just a feeling. I look at those sucky versions of the mounts with disdain and disgust. Mm. And I will never use them. Mm. You are creating content I will never use because it's basically a badge of shame.
Wow.
So
wow, you don't want to wear your second place medal around your neck if you go to the Olympics, do you?
What if I show up with my rainbow bright horse without the rainbow Mohawk, and then some other player has it? I'm gonna be so mad.
You get just like when your border isn't as good as their border.
If I spend money to get my sick, angry cloud mounts, then nobody with better skill can get. Someone with a mustache.
We got a case of epine going on with
Look,
this horse.
I yeah. have a problem yeah. with the epic mounts. It's not this problem. Like, I know I don't belong in Masters. I've got no problem knowing I won't get that. But I do think putting mounts exclusive at those tiers does encourage the mentality of this is a ladder I need to climb and climb as quickly as possible. Mm. And I think that's part of what's unhealthy about current ranked play. Mm. So we don't need to get into that necessarily today, but I do think that having rewards that are exclusive to super high levels doesn't. The reward for ranking should be that you're getting good matches. That should be the reward. When you put an additional carrot, which is, hey, only Masters and above get this cool thing, then people don't see it as, oh, I should be getting good matches and happy where I am. They see it as, this is a ladder I'm supposed to climb as quickly as possible to get a reward.
I know what they should get. Okay, we have a profile screen at a tab in there called Awards Earned. Give them a cup or give them a trophy. Give them a thing.
You said cup, and I'm just going to tell you, I immediately pictured what you put in a jock strap.
Yeah, like a cup.
Yeah,
all right. Slash rant. I'm done.
To protect your epeen in e-cup.
Right. That worked out really well.
Yeah, worked out good. All right, there's that. So that's coming. Look for those. That'll be fun. New HGC 2018 season kicks off this Friday. Now, I have a couple questions about it. We don't have a lot to say other than we're excited. I'm excited for the competition. This Overwatch stuff's been incredible, so I'm very excited for my Heroes fix in a similar way. And here's the question I have. Do we expect... Oh, thanks. What's this? Did you bring me something? My wife brought me something. Okay,
Bring something for all of us?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, is there enough
fries?
For the class?
That's awesome. I'm not fat enough. This would be perfect. What? All right. They went to In-N-Out. I like a good In-N-Out, honey. Just kidding. That's a terrible thing to say on the air. Anyway. Just kidding.
You know, first Harvey Weinstein, now Scott Johnson outed as a massage.
Yeah. Harassing my own wife. Yeah, okay, yeah. Bye. All right, anyway. So What was the point? My point was I had a point, and it. Whoa. So, are they using the Burbank Blizzard Arena? Like, are they using the same space? I assume they are, right?
I think they are, but I also think there might be overlap. So I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
Maybe there is an overlap. Maybe they don't want to compete with themselves.
Maybe not. I don't know, actually. So I'm very curious about that. I was completely, and I don't say this with hyperbole, blown away by the production value of Overwatch League. It is heads and tails above anything I've ever seen. Just the facility, like the place with the seamless wraparound screens that cover the entire arena that show a preview of the new map. So if Junkertown's coming up, they'll show this on the screen. And it's not like it's like three or four screens where you can see the edges. It's one big continuous, contiguous thing that like wraps around the room and around everybody's head and does these flyovers. And they also seamlessly shift back to logos and colors and giant swaths of color with zero artifacting or any kind of weird like errors in it or anything. It is just mind-blowingly good.
So, I like when it looks like Snoke's office from The Last Jedi.
A little bit like that, yeah.
That's my favorite part, when it's just Snoke's office.
It is a little like Snoke's office, which is a really bad decor if it's your office. But as an esports backdrop, it's awesome. So what I want to know is, are we getting that? Like, if we're getting that.
Oh, I don't think we're getting that.
But why wouldn't we get that? Because it's the same place.
Yeah, but I think it's probably tied up with Overwatch League. I think we're getting, they're not doing land, like it's not local. I think the players, like they did last year, are going to play in their homes. Maybe for the clashes and the finals, we'll get something, but I don't know. I think there's too much overlap. I think HGC is going to be, I'm sure, I hope there's some updates, but I don't think we're going to see anything.
Oh, that would really bum me out.
That level.
I'm bummed.
I think there's definitely events that are there. I can say that for sure. I don't know if it's all of them. I think Bo's right. I don't think it's these.
Yeah.
But there will definitely be events there. I know stuff happens there. I remember reading that for sure. I don't remember what.
Yeah, I mean, they played a bunch of stuff before BlizzCon there.
But I don't know if it's going to be a case of like, Mom, HGC's trying to touch our stuff, and so we don't get their sweet screen or anything like that.
Well, it's all built in, so I would assume that if they use it, they get it. But then again, there's also a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff where, you know, all that stuff has to be created and used and whatever. But it was so cool, you guys. Like, they spared no expense. It was like watching Jurassic Park and him mumbling about that.
If you haven't watched Overwatch League yet, you owe it to yourself to just tune in and watch an hour, like watch a series. It's
crazy.
Don't touch Overwatch as much, and I found it enjoyable.
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it. There are some people doing things with McCree that are making me ill. I can't believe they're playing that grid. It's crazy to me. So anyway, worth watching. Go check it out, and hopefully HGC gets some of that love. I don't know. Guess we'll find out next week when we speak again. All right. Well, we got time for this. Hey, one guy that hates this. It is time for emails. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. core@heroesforyou.com. We got an email from Nathaniel Brummel. Is that how you say that? Brummel.
Brummel.
Brummel?
Nathaniel Brummel. I am Nathaniel.
Brummel sounds like a bad Nazi man, doesn't it?
Wow.
Well, no, somebody from like the actual Third Reich, like World War II era. So doesn't it sound like
a German name? I know what you mean. It's like Goebbels or like, you know. It's,
yeah, but there was a General Brummel or somebody who was like the tank guy or something.
Hang on. General Brummel.
My memory may be bad. Let's see. World War II. Maybe I've got it wrong. Brummel.
It's an exciting Google going on here. Also, you're all getting put on a list.
Yeah.
Everybody but John.
I don't think so.
On the plus side, you'll get Christmas cards from the White House this year.
Yeah, we very
There's a very attractive young woman with that last name, though. Oh, hey. That's what happened for me.
All right. Well, hey, we know how you know how to Google foo over there. Well done.
Yeah, that's just your search history. Yeah. Oh, chat room. We should have just turned to the chat room.
No, what'd they say? Oh,
did
the
they
Desert Fox.
Erwin Rommel.
Oh, Rommel. It's Rommel. That's it. The Desert Fox. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Metal Gear.
It's not Metal Gear.
Otacon, no, what can you tell me about the Desert Fox?
That's not it. That's not it. Holy shit. Oh, by the way, Chad, I don't know if we've said this after the show tonight. We're gonna play with our normal team league on Saturday because we can't do team league because there's HCC is gonna interrupt it. So we're gonna be playing with Kyle and Kristen tonight, which we're very excited about. And I forgot to mention that. So that's happening.
Yeah. Right?
All right, let's look at the deal here. He says, "Hey, Corehounds, I find it humorous that Blaze's name is Miles Lewis, considering he has the same voice actor as Principal Lewis from American Dad. I imagine the character in the fire suit setting people on fire, and it makes me chuckle. He also voiced Grom Hellscream in Warlords of Draenor. Light him up, because we'll never be slaves. Best regards, Nathaniel Brommel." Actually, I have that clip. Let's just hear it. Slaves.
I treat you slaves well.
No, that isn't it.
And Scott's on another list.
Scott's in the Rommel folder.
I don't know where I put that. Gosh dang it. I thought I had it handy. Hold on. Maybe it's on the instance tab. Nope, it's not. Where is it?
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening.
No.
Yep, there it is.
I don't know where it is, but yeah. Point is,
I'm Jeff made... Kaplan, and we will never be slaves.
Three articles of Kotaku just appeared, though.
Yeah.
All he had to do is
Nazi sympathizing
name.
Heroes of the Storm show.
Yeah.
Quotes Jeff Kaplan. What does this mean?
Yeah.
Must mean there's a German hero coming to Overwatch.
Oh man, that'd be great. We already have a Russian one. Let's get the German in there. Anyway, I'm going to say that is kind of funny. I like the idea that Lewis is his shared name of the character from American Dad. And now I can hear it. Now that you say that's he's in that show, I can hear him talking and I can go, oh, that's totally that guy. But also Grom Hellscream. He was told, you know, if you drink the green juice, he had to give everything. Remember that? And he said, nope, my boy came to from the past. He's got a big ball and...
I don't remember that part of the cutscene, but I remember it being good.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. By the way, I don't know if anyone's ever answered this, but where was young Garrosh Hellscream in that scenario? Was he at home with his mom?
They did answer this. I know the answer to this question.
Okay, what is it?
I get to show my inner WoW lore nerd.
All right.
Blizzard confirmed that in this alternate reality of Draenor, Garrosh was not born.
Oh.
He never existed.
Oh. Well, wait. Why?
Oh,
he would
know.
Only been
I
a
think
he would have only
because Thrall's mom fell in or his mom fell in love with Thrall or something.
But didn't he die? He died in the Warcraft 3 one. Right?
It's not like a Back to the Future alternate universe. It's like a completely alternate universe.
Yeah, it's not just the past. It's an alternate reality, the past.
Oh.
So okay. A lot of stuff could be different.
Okay, well, that's I don't like that. That's cheap, because that just means...
It all... So, you remember the Devil Stars in Un'Goro Crater?
Yeah.
Well, the hunters in World of Warcraft wanted to kill them.
Yeah.
But they're in a, you know, close to extinct species, so they had to travel back in time. There are these big pathways they had to walk on if they wanted to kill one. Mm-hmm. But the one hunter, GURP, I think it was, stepped off the platform and stepped on a butterfly and messed everything up for everybody.
Oh, wait. This isn't real lore, is it?
No.
Because you were saying it with the same authority that you said the last thing about Garrosh.
Yeah. No, we don't know what's real and what isn't. This is perfect 2018
like, wait,
the scenario here. I like it. Yeah. Nobody knows what the real truth is. Yeah, butterfly effect, I guess, whatever. I don't like time travel. I hate it because it's never done right, but whatever. I do like that cinematic, and I like that voice actor, and you're right. It is Miles Lewis, and may he forever light it up.
Bill and Ted did it all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. in a weird way.
They did in a weird way. In a weird way, they got time travel more right than most other movies do. Most movies
I just
blow
like
it.
The idea of, hey, we just have to remember that we're going to have to do this. And that immediately makes it the result possible.
Yeah.
It makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, it's like they're and it's the most accurate thing of that. I mean, that's one of my complaints about most time travel is that that would be the way it would work if you're the same person. Right.
Right.
So it's too easy for people to go, oh, it's a different timeline. There's a split. There's a fork in the road. F off. Like, do it or don't. Screw it or love it. Like, embrace it and Bill and Ted it or ruin it like the stupid the whale saving in Star Trek 4. Do it one way or the other.
That's a movie I need to watch.
You've never seen Star Trek 4?
No, Bill and Ted.
Oh. You should watch Bill and Ted. You should.
Yeah. I have some on my to-do list as well.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm not going to say it holds up 100%, but I think it's all right. I think the second one's really good, too. The guy that plays Death is really great. I can't think of his name, but he was in Die Hard 2 and other things. Shawshank Redemption and other things. Anyway, there's that. That means the end of the show. Thank you.
That was
we're
the out
ending
part
on a brown note today.
We've already covered the in and we've reached the out.
That's right. Thank you all for joining us. Like I said, we're going to play some games with our team league pals tonight. So this should be interesting and probably much harder than usual because Kyle is like a genius and like the best player we know. So it's going to be hard to find competition who aren't wanting to stomp us. But we'll do our best, and you can watch right along with us here shortly. For the rest of you, thank you for being here. Don't forget, this show is produced and done by us, but it's paid for entirely by you. We don't take any other advertisements or anything else. Patreon.com/CoreShow is where you can show your support for Core. If you enjoy it, if you like it, if it brings you joy every week, makes you laugh a little bit, or, you know, remind you who Brommel was or isn't. Check it out, patreon.com/coreshow. And again, our website is heroesforyou.com. Go there, check it out, and be friends with us. Core@heroesforyou.com is our email address. We are at Core Heroes on Twitter. John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. Those are our individual names on Twitter. And that's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John, we'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Well, now I've seen everything.
That's not it. Oh, it's not it.
And now I've seen everything.
It was supposed to be the sound that happened last week. Oh, this. There we go. I was supposed to be able to play that.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.